morning. Y'all are awake for 9:30. I love it. All right. Well, as you can see, we are starting a new series today called Enough, and this is going to be a two-part series. Today, we're going to be talking about who we are in Christ and how we find our identity and who we are and our identity in Him. And then next week, Kyle's going to bringing us part two and talking about how we are content with what we have. And then December 1st, Pastor Craig's gonna be kicking off Christmas series as we roll into December. But it's a joy to be able to be with you all today and bring this word. But looking at this, let's think about contentment. What is contentment? True contentment in Christ is being truly satisfied in one's relationship with Jesus Christ and not in one's circumstances, right? So we're looking at enough, not enough. Like this is enough, like satisfied, filled. Contentment is what we're looking at today with enough. Being truly satisfied in one's relationship with Jesus Christ and not in one's circumstances. Circumstances can go a lot of different ways, right? Things can change all the time. It can be because of our own choices, but it can also be affected by others and their impact on us, right? Some things we can't control. They're out of our control, but yet we have the choice. Are we going to be content? And so Jesus is the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is the rock on which we can find our contentment. In the book, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment by Jeremiah Burroughs, so this was written a few hundred years ago, but Burroughs, he defined Christian contentment as that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly will in every condition. Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? That sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly will in every condition. It sounds beautiful, but it should be something that we long for. If we're honest with ourselves, it's probably not something that we have all the time. We get distracted, right? We have moments of discontentment, but that is something that we should be longing for. It's easy to become discontent. We want a different job, or we want a job that pays better, or we see the gifts that God's given someone else, or how they do things so easily, and I wish I was like that, right? We can become envious and discontented. We can be sick, ill, wishing, if I was just healthy, what if then? When we're young, we say, when I'm older, if I could just, you know. But then when we're older, we think, if I was just younger again, right? It's easy to just always want something else. But just like Webster's definition, we look for satisfaction in things. We look for being truly satisfied. And that is a good thing, right? God has designed us to want satisfaction. Satisfied, we're satisfied by food when it tastes good. We're satisfied by nature when we go out and we see something beautiful that God's created. We're satisfied by rest after we've worked so hard and we see the fruits of our labor. Satisfaction is, it's good. But God, He is all satisfying. God designed us to live into His satisfaction alone. And we often forget that. We also often look for satisfaction in all of the other things besides God. We're always looking for something else to satisfy and to make us content. So we ask the question today, is Jesus enough? Is He enough? Well, truth is, yes, Jesus is enough. If we look in the Bible, we go to the very beginning and we see discontentment. We see Adam and Eve in the garden. God has created the world. He's placed them in this beautiful place called the Garden of Eden. They have everything they could need, right? It's perfect. They have the most delicious fruit. They're in perfect relationship with God. And yet, they felt like He wasn't enough. Oh, if I just eat this fruit from this one tree. Or, if I just had the knowledge that God had, then I'll be okay. And they fell into this discontentment. David, King David, when he saw Bathsheba, this beautiful woman out bathing, he thought, if only I had her, right? So then he goes and he kills her husband and then he takes her as his wife. You know, a little discontentment gone to the max, right? Our sin and the sinfulness and the satisfaction that you desired led to sin, right? We look in Numbers chapter 11, and we look at the Israelites as they're out in the wilderness heading towards the promised land. And the Israelites, they lived in the land of Egypt. Joseph and his family, you know, they'd all landed there, Jacob and all of the brothers, all of his sons. They've lived this good life, but then they end up getting enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then God uses Moses to bring the people out of Egypt. They see the miraculous works of God as the plagues come over Egypt. And finally, after the angel of death passes over Egypt, and the Israelite boys are saved, and the Egyptian firstborns die, Pharaoh says, enough, right? I'm going to let you go. And so out go the Israelites heading towards the promised land that God's promised for them. But then what happens? God, it was better being enslaved in Egypt and I had food then. You know, they get discontentment. Ah, manna, this is gross. I've had enough. God's providing food from heaven every day, but yet it wasn't enough for them. They said, I just want meat, right? If I could just have some meat. And then God says, okay, you doubt me being able to provide you with meat? Moses says, God, where are you? Why have you put me in this place where everyone is grumbling? And God says, don't you doubt me. You know, I've provided for you thus far, right? And then he gives quail for 600,000 people, right? And he sends them meat. But yet, they've lost sight of their identity and who they are. And God, they're God's chosen people. David lost sight of who he was in God. Adam and Eve, they lost sight of this beautiful relationship that they had with God. And in all of those stories, we see that discontented hearts lead people astray. We see the story of Job. And Job depicts a man, a righteous man, who despite experiencing immense suffering, he loses his wealth, he loses his children, he loses his health, but yet he remains steadfast in his faith. He's a man that had many, and yet little by little it was all stripped away. And yet because of his faith, Job was content in who he was with God. And yet experiencing immense suffering, he said, God, you are enough. You are enough, God, even when everything else is stripped away. And he demonstrated true contentment that comes from a trusting God, regardless of the circumstances around him, didn't he? It wasn't from the material possessions that he had or the relationships that he had, but it was solely rooted in his identity in God, and he kept his faith. What's your identity? Where do you find your identity? Galatians 2:20, which you'll see on the screen, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh is I live by faith because he loves me and he gave himself for me. Paul rooted himself in who he was in Christ and what the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross for him, and he was able to go out and live true contentment out of that, which we'll dive into more in a minute. But when we think about that, when we think about our true identity, I want us to look at a few things that the Bible says about you. The Bible says that we are his. The Bible says we are treasured. The Bible says that we are loved, that we are worth dying for. We are precious, forgiven, chosen, irreplaceable, set free, that we are God's child, that we are secured, we are set apart. This is who you are as God's people. It's God's chosen people. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. That's what he says about you. So when we see
And we think about who we are and our contentment that we find in who we are in Christ. It comes from that, right? It comes from our identity, not what the world says about us, not what our boss says about us. It comes from God. So easily we can hear the lies, but to first find this contentment in who we are in Christ, we must remember our true identity and what the Bible says about us, what God says about you. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, this talks about contentment in all the circumstances. And it reads like this: though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Even though there's no blossom on the tree, there's no blossom, then the fruit's not going to come, right? The produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food. They're going to be hungry, right? There's no food coming. They're with little right now. And yet, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. He says it again. Will we, even when our circumstances aren't looking good, even when we have little, even when we've been sick, even when our home has been destroyed, think about our neighbors in Western North Carolina. How do you find hope in the midst of such devastation? So many that have lost so much, seeing houses floating away in the floods. When Jesus is our enough, that's what truly satisfies, right? Because everything else can be here today and gone tomorrow. But the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can rest in that. We can rest in the goodness of God even when things seem so meek. We can look at the story of Paul. This might be a scripture passage that is familiar to you, but we'll look at Philippians 4, 11 through 13. And so Paul was a missionary called by God, and he went to various countries being able to speak the gospel and to share the good news of Christ. Some places received him with arms wide open. Others, not so much. He was persecuted for his faith. He was often landed in prison. Some of his letters he wrote from a jail cell. And here we see in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, it says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned that in whatever circumstance, situation that I am in, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Even when he's received with arms wide open and he's able to share the gospel, or even when people push him away, even when people support him and give him food and support his ministry, or even when he's been hungry, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And I think a lot of the times we pull out that verse 13 and we say, "Oh, how pretty. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." That's easy to say, right? God strengthens me. But we look what Paul wrote right before that. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, even when I have nothing. Even when I've been jailed in prison. Even when I've been beaten and abandoned. Even when I've been struck down." That's what it's saying here in verse 13. Paul's saying, in every circumstance, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And we can say the same thing. But you got to keep that first part, verse 11 and 12. Whether in need or whether with plenty, whether brought low or abounding, in every circumstance, Paul says, I'm going to be content because my God is my God. And this is worth fighting for, being able to spread his gospel. He says, Jesus is enough for me. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. This is written by Paul as well to the Corinthians, and he says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He says, oh, this is hard, and I just wanted it to be taken away. Like, that's natural. That's our human nature, right? But yet Paul says here, 3 times I pleaded, please take it away, God. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And we can rest in that as well. Even when things aren't going our way, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power, your power is made perfect in weakness. It's not when we're strong, but it's when God's strong, right? It's when we say, I can't do it. We let God shine through, and we work even in our imperfection, and we let him work even in our weakness. God's able to do so much more. Verse 10, Pastor Jason brought this to our staff team during our devotion the other morning, and it was beautiful to think through this and see, you know, it says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And so looking at that, how often have you said, I am content with weakness? I don't love feeling weak. I am content with insults. I'm content with hardships. It's a good thing. Pretend with persecution, with calamities, right? It's like, how do those go hand in hand, right? It's kind of like this aha of like, how does that all work out? Well, it's all because of what it's saying before, right? Because the grace of Christ is sufficient for us. In verse 10, for the sake of Christ, Pastor Craig was saying when we were looking over this verse, he said, you know, my mama used to say, you know, for God's sake, you know, and that's not what it's saying here. Like, that's taking God's name in vain. But this is saying, for the sake of Christ, it's saying to show how powerful God is. For the sake of Christ, to show how powerful God is, I am content, even in the weakness and the insult and the hardships, right? To show how powerful God is, I'm good even then, right? And also in the words of Pastor Craig, he said, if you never take a risk, you never have a testimony. So even if we never experience all this stuff, if we never endure seeing God's power shine through when we're weak, we really don't have a testimony. It's in these hard times when we're feeling the insults and the hard stuff and the weakness, it's then that we say, man, even when I was feeling at my smallest, this is what God did, right? And so I pray for you. God answers prayers, so let me put this for you. I pray for you that you will experience the weakness, the hardships, the insults, but because, so you can experience a testimony if you haven't yet before, because it's in that that you see God show up in a huge way. You'll see God, because it's beyond, when it's beyond you and your strength, that's when it's a testimony. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, another passage from Paul, teaching us from his contentment. He says, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. According to his riches, of his glory. He may grant you to be strengthened with the power. God promises you that he is with you, that he is able, that he will strengthen you, that you will understand the love, how wide and how deep and how long his love is for you. You will experience his fullness. Our contentment doesn't depend on ourselves or others, which will fail, but on God's power, and he will provide it for us. When we're rooted in him and growing, thriving, firm, only then can we understand what contentment really is. So I have a question for you today. How do we rejoice in the Lord even when? How do we rejoice in the Lord even when? Even when things aren't easy. Even throughout sickness or disease. Even when we're not in a position that we want to be in. Even when we have little. Or even when we have much. Even when things break and we have to fix them. For Jack and I this week, God was teaching and fueling this message on contentment. Our truck has had a tick, and so Jack took it in and had someone look at it, and they're like, well, you know, just to fix that, like, you know, the best scenario is this price. And he was like, you know, it's just like, well, we don't want to have to pay that, you know, but this is how you get the truck working again and to not have the tick. And so, you know, not easy to grasp. Kind of leaves you in a state of discontentment of like, seriously? Like, didn't plan on that. But yet, it's like, well, God's provided for us, you know? This time last year, like, we were living off one salary. Jack's just started a new career this year. And so right now, it's like, wow, like, we have more right now than we've had a few months back, you know? And we have an extra car. Like, we don't, it's okay. You know, we have plenty. Even when this situation looks like, not happy about that, but it's like, you know what? I see God and how he's provided and how he is all satisfying. Even when this doesn't seem okay, we're really way better off. Like, for when it could have happened, I'm so glad it happened right now because God's providing for us in all sorts of ways. And that's been beautiful. So how do we rejoice in the Lord even when? Summer of 2014, I was on an airplane heading down to Guatemala to serve for the summer. And I had just lost my grandmother, my mom's mom, and it was the first grandparent I'd lost. And so it was hard. But I got to chatting with this lady across the aisle from me, and she's a teacher down in Rock Hill. And she was just started sharing with me about something that God was teaching her. And she was single, and she was living with an older woman at the time, and they were roommates, and she just talked about how good that was. But just even the singleness, but just thinking, you know, hey, like, even if I don't get married until, you know, I'm 40, or even if I don't get married until I'm 60, like, God's been teaching me, am I enough? You know, is God enough for me if I don't get married until then? And I was single at the time, too. I was 21. And in college, it was between my junior and senior year. And my other grandma, she used to joke with me that I was, not joke, she was, I think, serious, that I was going to be an old maid. And I was the youngest granddaughter, and I don't think she had a whole lot of hope for me. So in that moment, I'm like, yeah, like, what if I never do get married? Like, is God enough for me? And praise God, like, I have an amazing husband, and God was faithful. And he is enough, even if I had never gotten married. But that just stuck with me of like, is God enough? Even if I don't get married till I'm 80, like, what if, you know, God just has me single my whole life and I don't find him till later? Or what if I lose my parents? What if I lose my siblings? Like, is God enough? Even if I experience this loss, even if I do get married and then I lose a spouse, what about then? Is God enough? And so I was just like, all right, I don't know that I'm quite content yet in my 21-year-old self of like being fully content with all of that. But it was a beautiful message to me and something that stuck with me now, 10 years later, of what God was teaching her and how that taught me so much in that time. And then when I was in Guatemala that summer, my grandfather passed away, and God showed to be enough even in those moments, and he still continues to be. So Jesus is enough for you. point on your sermon notes today. Jesus is enough for you. We can look in all the places and try to look for that something to truly satisfy, but nothing will be like Jesus will. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough for us. A few weeks ago, I went to the eye doctor because I really can't read very well out of my left eye, and I probably need glasses. I do need glasses. I haven't filled my prescription yet, but I'm going to. But when I was at the optometrist, I was sitting in front of sitting in the chair, and they had you look through the thing, and then they flip the thingies. And if you have glasses, you'd know. It was new for me. It was kind of fun. But they flip it, and they say, like, one or two. And so they show you two different, you know, prescriptions, and then it's like you say whichever's clearer. And then they're like, all right, two or four. Like, four or three, and then they keep flipping to find the correct prescription that you need. And you look and you try to see like which one's the clearest that helps your vision be perfect and you can read the line that looks the less blurry. And so that's what God wants for us. He wants us to see clearly. Jesus wants us to have that clear vision that only he can provide. It's easy to look at other things and it's blurry when it's not of him. So, point number two. Look at your life through a new lens. Look at your life through God's lens. Look at your life through God's lens. If we try to look for contentment like the world does, we're gonna get it wrong. It's like putting on the wrong prescription. It wasn't designed for us. We must look through the lens that our Creator has made for us, that He is the only one that truly satisfies. He is our all-satisfying God. And it's in him that we can find our contentment. Our contentment doesn't depend on ourselves or others, which will fail, but it depends on God's power, and he will provide it for us. As we close today, I'm going to close with a little song. And this is one that we used to sing in youth group when I was like in middle school. So it's a little throwback to like 20, 25 years ago. It may be one that you know. So I'm going to ask you if you will stand with me. The lyrics will be on the screen, but this is called Enough by Chris Tomlin. And this is one that Barlow Girl, if you remember that band, they used to sing as well. But sing along with me if you know this. And I just want these lyrics to just wash over you this morning, that we would let them settle in on our souls, and that we would really sing, "You're more than enough for me. More than enough." And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need you satisfy. Your love and all I have in you is more than enough. You are my supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than I know. We lift our song up to you this morning. We lift up our praise to you, knowing that you, God, are more than enough. God, fill us with you. Satisfy us, that we would look to you, God, to fill our hearts, because you alone are good and you alone are God, even when everything else is shifting sand. May we plant ourselves on you as our rock and our firm foundation. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.